This morning I invite you to take your Bible and open to Psalm 103, Psalm 103. The title of the message this morning is The Lord's Mercies in Living Color, or Living in the In-Between Times. And I trust that God will take his word and that he'll bring it home to our hearts. I'm convinced that what we really need is to hear from heaven this morning. At every Lord's Day that we gather, that our minds and hearts and ears are open to hear from God. And to hear from God, we believe without wavering that we open his word and that God will bring into our lives and bring home to our hearts his word, his message that we need to hear for the day and the times that we're living. So I've found in this psalm a psalm that's timeless, a psalm that was not only good and holy and healthy for the there and then, but it's all those things for the here and now. And that if we could just begin to grasp what the Lord has for us in Psalm 103, that our lives would be lifted to a higher spiritual plane of existence. So it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm and one of my favorite psalms in the entire Bible, and has Jesus written all over it, because Jesus is the one who makes all of this real to us. So we'll read Psalm 103 and then make a couple of points this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind passes over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word of the Lord. Father in heaven, we have read your word. We pray that you would speak to us through Psalm 103. I pray every heart would be open and receptive to what you have to say. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've got 2 points this morning. First, there's a command given, and we want to look at that. So, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. There's the command to bless the Lord. You ever engage in self-talk? You ever talk to yourself? Well, sure, we do. We speak to ourselves. We try to remind ourselves of things to do. We talk to ourselves. Here, the psalmist is talking to his soul, his very own soul. And he is commanding of his soul that he bless the Lord. Now, in my Bible, it says this is a psalm of David. And one of the first things that I see in this command is that it must not be natural to praise the Lord. And we will equate blessing the Lord with praising the Lord or worshiping the Lord. It must not just come natural to do such a thing. I think Christians should engage in constant blessing and praising of God, that overflow of joy and gratitude that comes from our heart. But evidently, it doesn't just always flow naturally and spontaneously from the life of the believer. Because we're getting catching a snapshot or getting a picture of David here where he is telling himself to bless the Lord. Of all things that he could have told himself to do, maybe run and hide, go here, go there, try to satisfy or try to meet his own needs and look out for himself in those dangerous days that he was on the run from Saul, he's actually encouraging himself or demanding of himself that he bless the Lord. So I think one thing we need to understand here is it's not natural to bless the Lord in our present state, in this world in which we live. It's not just natural. It's not just going to flow. You're not just going to get up on a Monday morning and begin to praise the Lord. It's not always going to happen like that. It's not always going to flow. It's not always going to be natural or supernatural or however you want to put it. There are times that you will have to command of yourself to praise God, to be thankful, to live on that higher spiritual plane. I think there are some reasons for that in our own fallen world that we live in. So we live in a world full of chaos and confusion. There's so much chaos and confusion that we've strayed so far from marriage being defined as one man and one woman for life. There's this confusion all around. And I think sometimes Christians are so burdened by what we see in a fallen world that we lose the joy of what it means to be a child of God. Amen. A child of the King who should live our existence out in praise and honor and thanksgiving to that great God who created us. The burdens of culture and society that we live in, and then personal burdens that you and I bear. You know, they say our population is living, the life expectancy is longer than it used to be, right? People are living up in years now, in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, and we've got a large segment of the population that's entering that time. And we have concerns, right? We have concerns as we get older about health and sickness and death. All these concerns, they can become burdens that can squelch our joy. And the responsibility that we have as children of God to give Him praise. And I think we live in that realm, and there's pressure and there's burden. And there's sadness and there's grief. And if we're not careful as believers, we forget to do the very thing that God has called every born again, forgiven, blood-bought believer to do. And that is to live a life of worship before God. Of blessing Him, of praising Him, of giving Him honor each and every day of our lives, and to live in that attitude toward the Lord. These things that we're talking about that we have to deal with affect our soul. We become sad, burdened. At times we become angry. And we forget to bless the Lord. So that's why David is saying here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's speaking to his soul. If David needed to encourage his own soul to bless the Lord, to worship God, to praise Him, to bring his gratitude to God, then who are we to say that we don't need at times to stir ourselves up in praise to God by laying on our own soul that demand to bless God? And we bless Him because He is worthy, because He's deserving, because He's high, He's holy, and although unseen, He is there. He spoke everything that we see into existence. He created everything that we don't see. And He deserves our praise. He longs for our praise, for our blessing. And so the command to bless the Lord. How are you doing in that area? I mean, like right now, like this morning on the way to church, did you get up this morning and then get ready? Were you thinking about God? Were you giving Him praise from your heart? It doesn't always have to be vocal. It can just be thoughts of God and thinking of how good He is to you, the life He's given you, the opportunities that are before you, the family He's given you, the church family that He's given you, the spiritual resources that God has rained down upon your life through Jesus, just to give Him thanks for that, for His protection, for His sweet mercies. Well, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So this morning, I would to God that each and every one of us this morning who names the name of Jesus would engage in a thoughtful, constant worship of God in spite of your own personal circumstances, in spite of what's going on in the wicked world, in spite of what the enemy may bring to your doorstep, that we would set our face like flint toward God and worship Him in the good times and the bad. Worship Him regardless of what the circumstances are. The message here is, don't let circumstances drown your praise and your worship to God Almighty, who deserves your praise and your worship. Be constant in worshiping the Lord. And then notice, right along with this first point on the command to praise. Oh, by the way, I know a lot of people are into health, right? We're into health. Is that true? I mean, everybody's getting their steps in, right? Everybody's on this keto diet. What I figured out, if it's anything like you are, I'm on the keto diet when I'm on the keto diet. When I'm not, I'm not. It works out very well. And just as soon as I set my face toward keto, somebody throws a pizza in front of me, and I'm like, hate to see this go to waste. Anybody want the last piece? No. I'll be keto in the morning. Yep. We'll be right back on that train. Nuts and berries. Great. Yeah. Till somebody throws a Snickers bar in front of you. Those are great. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry about that. But we're into health, right? We're into this health. You know what we're not paying a whole lot of attention to is the health of our spirit and our soul, our mind. Listen, folks, that verse 1, if you and I could just embrace it, if we could bring it to our hearts and lives, if we could do this, can you imagine how healthy that would be for our spirit, for our mind, for our whole constitution before God? It was so healthy to do this. Bless the Lord. Tell yourself, remind yourself at all times to bless the Lord. Command yourself when you're burdened, when you're down, when you're low, when you're confused. Command yourself to bless the Lord. One of the healthiest things you could do. And then notice what he says there in the second part of verse 1. Oh my. We read it a while ago, but I think we ice skated right over that. We're gonna dig down just a little. And all that is within me. He doesn't say, and a tenth of what's in me. A smidgen. I tell you what. I've met more professing Christians who are what I call a little dab will do you Christians. We just flirt with spiritual things without embracing spiritual things. We want to get by with as little as we can get by with. And that just doesn't work before a holy God. And that doesn't work before a loving Lord, Jesus Christ, who gave himself, his all, on the cross for us, shedding his precious blood for us. That doesn't work with him. Look at this. And all that is within me. It's amazing Folks will give their all for their job. They'll give their all for their hobby. But when it comes to spiritual things, most of the time we want to see how little we can get by with. And that's backwards. He says, "And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Everything in you, every fiber of your being, every part of you." We need to be all in with God. We need to be all in this walk with God, this journey that He has called us to. Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It involves the whole self, giving Him our all. So He says, "And all that is within me." So when we praise the God of all, He deserves nothing less than our all. He's the one who gave us life. He's the one who gave us spiritual life. So we give Him all our praise. And verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He says it again. You know, sometimes you have to say something more than once. Sometimes our souls are so burdened down by the circumstances of life that it takes more than one time of saying something to our soul to get it stirred up to do what we want it to do. And the psalmist says it again. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." So he says it again, and then he says, "and forget none of His benefits." Now, here's the interesting thing here. When the psalmist talks about forgetting, or the other side of the coin, remembering, those are not static. Those are not what we would call inactive things. These require action. So when he says, "and forget none of His benefits," this requires action on our part. Blessing the Lord with all of our being requires action. Love is a verb. Love is demonstrated before God when we bless Him. It is a verb. Don't let your soul, don't let your life go dormant on God. But our service to Him, our blessing to Him should be a very active service. Now there are times to be still and know that He is God. And that's one of the ways you can bless Him. Listen, folks, we get so busy. We're not even able to get up in the morning before we're thinking, "I got to go here, I'm going there." And we've already got it planned through the evening what we got to do. The only thing we leave off is when we're going to bed. Because we're trying to leave room for anything else that we need to do. Listen, in our busy life that we're leading, we need to make those times to sit ourselves down. Let your phone run out of battery. You don't have to charge that thing. Let it run out every now and then. Sit down, get away from your phone. That's what I'm saying. Sit down, be still, and know that He is God. And while you're sitting there, say this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." And just start off there and just worship Him in the stillness of that moment. And forget none of His benefits. We get to be forgetful. We forget how God's delivered us, how God's given us wisdom in that time that we needed His wisdom. We forget how God delivered on the strength when we were so overwhelmed we didn't know where the strength would or could come from. God has delivered, God has blessed, and we should constantly remind ourselves of those blessings, of those wonderful remembrances of God's deliverance, of His tender loving care, of His encouragement. That time He brought a believing friend alongside to encourage you with some words. That worship service that God just orchestrated for you to help your heart. We should remember these things. We should be caught up in these things, and especially with the Lord who blesses us with these benefits. So point number two. We have the command to bless God, point number one, and then point number two, the benefits. The Lord and His benefits. The Lord and His benefits. He has benefits. And there are no benefits like the Lord's benefits to the believer. And these benefits are personal to the one who has confessed Jesus Christ. They're just not out there. They're delivered to those who believe in Jesus. So if you need help remembering what has He done, the psalmist goes into, I think, five things that God has done for us. We want to look at those from verse 3 down to verse 5. So we're going to make two sermons out of this psalm. And we'll cover the last part in the evening service this evening at 6:30. But this morning, 1 through 5 will suffice. So he says, and forget none of His benefits. And in case anybody's been so forgetful, He is going to list five benefits of the Lord. Any one of these is cause to praise God. Anyone. But the most important one I've noticed is the one mentioned in verse 3. It's the first one mentioned, the first benefit that God brings to the life of the one who loves Jesus, the Jesus person, is this: who pardons all your iniquities. I mean, just let that roll over your mind. I like the translation that says, who forgives all your sin. And that's where the relationship with God starts. That's where worship begins. There's no worship unless God has forgiven our sin. Jesus shed His blood on the cross that we would be forgiven of our sin. Those that put their trust in Christ, in His sacrifice on the cross, are forgiven their sin. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin. So that sinners would become the righteousness of God in Him. And He forgives our sin when we come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And He brings that forgiveness to our lives. How wonderful is it to be forgiven? I mean, how wonderful is it to know that you're forgiven? I mean, I feel sometimes like the psalmist when he said, my sin is ever before me. Those sins of the past, sins of the present. But to know that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt on the cross with His own body and blood. And that they took Him down from the cross. They put Him in a tomb, a borrowed one, at that. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And He rose from the dead for one reason, to show that that sacrifice that He made on the cross for our sins was effective. It was good. And anyone who believes in Him is sealed by the Holy Spirit for that day of blessing. So He forgives all our iniquities. He forgives all our sin. Our past, our present, future, sin, it's under the blood. And this is, surely, this is a cause to worship him. Secondly, he heals all your diseases. He heals all your diseases. Now, I think it's important here to clarify, because we tend to have a one-sided perspective on this. Because you could say, well, if he heals all our diseases, then why do believers die? I mean, those that die by a disease, doesn't it say he'd heal all our diseases? No, that's a very limited perspective. You need to calm down on that. He's not going to heal every believer in this life. And I say that, I'm just going to keep it real here this morning. He is not going to heal every believer in this life. And you know, even if he did, you're going to go out one way or the other should the Lord tarry. Okay? So, first of all, he heals all our diseases, and this can be spiritual healing. It is used in, this word is used in that way. It can be spiritual and it can be physical. But can I tell you this morning? Every believer is ultimately healed of their diseases. Because I read the last book of the Bible, and it says that in heaven there is no crying, there is no pain. There are believers who have a glorified body in a glorified existence with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, in a place called heaven. There's no death there. There's no funeral home in heaven. And by the way, when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't heal everybody that he saw that needed heal. He went into the pool of Bethesda, which was basically a hospital, and healed one guy. That's what he did. He's not going to empty hospitals. No. Ultimately, believers are healed in heaven, but they are not always healed on earth. You say, well, what do you believe? I believe the Bible teaches divine healing according to his will. I do not believe in the faith healers that make a business out of trying to heal people. I think that is a stench in the nostrils of a holy God to merchandise healing in that way. It's disgusting. God does what he wants to do, and he has tender care for each and every believer. But not everyone is going to taste that healing in this life. But as they are a believer in Jesus, they will surely taste it in the next. There are no MRIs in heaven. You don't need any Neosporin in heaven. No hearse in heaven. It's a good place, and it's a better place to be. So he forgives all our sin. He heals all our diseases. We're coming in for a landing, or we're rounding third, heading for home. Number three, the benefits. He redeems your life from the pit. Well, what pit's he talking about? Well, the scribes, way back when, the rabbis and the scribes and all these Jewish religious experts, they translated pit, Gehenna. So the whole idea that they had in their mind, at least when they read this, was that the Lord redeems your life from hell. And I think we could all say amen to that. Because without him, we're hell bound. Without him, we can't enter the presence of a holy God. Without him, we're deserving of hell. But at last, he's redeemed our lives from the pit. He paid the price to redeem us, to buy us out of sin and the bondage of sin and death. And he's redeemed us. He's paid the price being the Son, Jesus Christ. Fourthly, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Why Why would he do that? Have you ever been in a tight spot and you just wondered, does he love me? Has he forgotten about me? No. He hadn't forgotten about you. And he definitely loves you because he's crowned you with loving kindness and compassion. And that loving kindness and compassion that he's crowned you with is his love and his compassion for you. He loves you. He has compassion for you. And he crowns you. He treats you like royalty. Say, well, I don't feel like royalty, and the mess that I'm seeing in my life or in the life of my family, it doesn't feel like I'm royalty. Well, we don't live our lives as Christians by the circumstances. We live our lives by what the Word of God tells us. And I'm telling you, according to Psalm 103, God in heaven crowns those who love Him with loving kindness and compassion. He loves you, He cares for you, and He will bring you safely through whatever ordeal there is out there for you. And then, number five, He also satisfies your years with good things. That's true. But you know what? Who is satisfied? Do you know anybody truly satisfied? Oh, there's a song back in the day, I can't get no satisfaction. I think that's pretty much the way people live, right? I mean, every now and then I see Christian running around like, you know, trying to satisfy. Where can I find satisfaction? Where can I find contentment? Right here. You find satisfaction and contentment with God. It's God who gives us the good things in our years. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the one who satisfies your years with good things. Another reason to bless the Lord. And then that last part of verse 5, and we'll land. So that your youth... Oh, what youth, you say... Not your youth, Pastor. Your youth has faded away. Amen. Double amen. But here's what the Lord says. See, you and I look on the outward. That's what we say. We say, that person's youth is fading away. You know, you see somebody you knew, I recently had a chance to see a couple classmates that I knew from back in the day, like years ago. And you can tell, you know, they changed. I know they changed a lot. I'm still the same, right? No, but here's what, we look on the outward and we see, oh, that person used to have this color hair, but now it's gray. Or they used to have hair. Whatever. But here's the truth of it. If you can handle the truth this morning, if you begin blessing the Lord the way He instructs us to, really thinking about God, really thinking about all that He's done for you and with you, He'll renew your youth like the eagle. And that's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, how does the eagle renew their youth? Well, the eagle molts yearly. Kind of freshens up on a yearly basis. And he's saying that can happen to you as you follow Jesus, as you love Him, as you get closer with Him, as you give Him more of your all in praise and worship. He'll renew your youth like the eagle. Listen, folks, why is it that we think as you get older, we get less spiritual? No, as we get older, we should be growing and flourishing, and our joy should become sweeter.
Amen? I mean, the younger ones should say, I love being around those older ones because they're so sweet and joyful. How can you explain that other than their youth is being renewed like the eagle? We just need to open up our hearts and our heads and receive God's word, and He'll make it all right. He'll make it all right. Tonight we're in verses 6, and we'll try to get through the rest of the psalm. But for this morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. PJ, if you'll come, and I'd like to ask the congregation to stand. We'll have a hymn of invitation. You're here this morning, you want prayer. Come forward. There'll be folks that would be glad to pray with you and over you and for you. If there's one who doesn't know Jesus, and you just are still trying to wrap your mind around all the benefits of knowing Christ and knowing the Father, today would be a wonderful day for you to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As we sing.
Please turn in your hymn books to number 446. Number 446. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.